I'll be reading from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. And so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people's Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out there ahead of them, and it went the star that they had seen at the rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down, and they paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, it's my prayer that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is Epiphany. We celebrate Epiphany as the revelation of Christ to all nations represented by the Magi, a.k.a. the wise men who came to worship Jesus. The church calendar recognizes the season of Epiphany from January 3rd until the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday, which is Transformation Sunday. Among the principal themes are the revelation of Christ to all nations, Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, and Christ as the light of the world. I want to talk to you this morning about Three wise men. Surely one of the great stories of the Christmas account is this very account of the wise men, the magi who visit from the east. This is a delightful tale about strange men from some foreign land who brought Christmas presents to baby Jesus. My friends, this story is filled with passion, mystery, and conspiracy. Matthew verses 1 and 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked where this child was to be born. One of the first things that intrigued me about this, they were following the star, and all of a sudden, they stopped following the star. They stopped in Jerusalem, and of all the people in the world, they asked King Herod for directions. They made a wrong turn, a nasty turn. Anybody ever made the wrong turn in your life? And it always takes us a little longer to get to where we got to go when we make the wrong turn. Amen? How many of you know a shortcut is not short? But who were these wise men? They were professors, philosophers of the day. These professionals were brilliant, highly educated scholars who were trained in medicine, history, religion, philosophy, prophecy, and astronomy. Our modern word magistrate is a direct descendant of the word magi. And since these men thought deeply about life, it certainly makes sense that we can call them wise men. But as I said, they were trained in astrology, not like we think of it today. We think of palm readers and that kind of thing. But back then, astrology was connected to people's search for God. They studied the skies in order to find answers to their questions, questions that we had. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? But the important fact for us to know about these wise men is that they were influential men. You know, it was the kings who would call the wise men in and ask for advice. And here we even see it with King Herod calling them in. So these men were very, very smart, intelligent men. But what could have possibly motivated them to take this 1,000-mile treacherous journey in a desert? I was in Bamako, Mali, West Africa, and I traveled to Timbuktu. And I remember them tying water jugs and gas cans to the roof of the vehicle, to the sides of the vehicle, just so that we can make this trek along the desert. And here they are, making the journey without a motorized vehicle, without all the things that we had. 1,000 miles. But as they leave King Herod, the scripture says that the star that they followed in the east, it reappeared. And it shone above them. And they followed it until it stopped right over the place where Jesus was. But you see, what's interesting to me about this particular text is it seemed like it was common knowledge where Jesus would be born. So why didn't Herod know where Jesus would be born? Everybody knew. It was prophesied in Micah 700 years ago, but the priests knew, the scribes knew, but Herod didn't know. I find it to be interesting. But they set out for Bethlehem, and when they got there, they worshiped him, worshiped Jesus with with great joy. And one of the things that I thought that was so interesting about the wise men, that they were men of faith. Your question might be, how do I know that they were men of faith? I'm so glad that you asked. When we look at this scripture, let me take you back for a moment. When they met King Herod, they just asked for directions. Some people say that that's why they were called the wise men. They're the only men known in history to ask for directions. But notice, they didn't worship him. Notice that they didn't bring him any gifts. But when they see the Christ child, they knelt before him and they worshiped. You know what I like about this is I imagine in my mind that when they saw him, they just knelt down and they worshiped. And they didn't care what other people thought. You know, too often when we worship, we care what other people think. We don't want to be called Jesus freaks. We don't even want people to know we go to church, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What I like about these wise men is they didn't care. They got down and they worshiped. How do I know that they were men of God? It seems to me that when they saw him, he didn't look like much of a king. He wasn't born in a palace or a castle. He didn't have a scepter in his hand. He wasn't giving out any laws. He wasn't commanding some army. He was a baby. But they knew that he was the king. They knew that in that cradle was more royalty and power and authority than what was in the palace with King Herod. And they worshiped him. I wish we had the same kind of boldness when it comes to our own faith, worshiping our Lord who's been so good to us. Because, you know, when we're at work, we got to be careful. When we're at school, we got to be careful. We don't want people to know. One of the things I want in 2016 is to reach as many people as we can for the Lord. Amen. I want us to be bold about our faith, just to go out and share it. I want us to be that light in this community, that when folks see us, they say, I want that. I want whatever that is. I want it. I want to be contagious, amen, with God's love, with God's compassion. I want to find the least and the lost and the forgotten. Are you with me? Notice when they worshiped and then they gave their gifts to the Lord. So often when people come to church, you think you're giving your money to the pastor. Hello. Or that's all the church want, is they want our money. I want you to find Jesus Christ. That's the best thing to ever happen to you. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I want the best for you. And it doesn't include money. We give because we've been blessed. Amen. That's why we give. You ought to want to give because he's been so good to you, because you want to make a difference in the life, because you know when you do give where it goes to make sure the lights are on. You ought to want to give. For 2016, I want more of him and less of me. Amen? These wise men were amazing. They took a wrong turn, scripture says. And they ended up at Herod's house asking for directions. But they got back on their journey. That's what I love about it. And the star reappeared. and it led them right to where Jesus was. Sometimes we get off the wrong track, amen? Sometimes we one day happens and we say, I'm not going to go to church that Sunday. And before we know it, it's 3 weeks before we've been to church. Sometimes even longer. We get off the wrong track, but let's get back on the right track. Amen? Some of us have skill sets that we know could be a blessing to the church, but we say, I've done all of that stuff. You still have life in your body, don't I want to hear about you've done all that stuff. Because when I read the Great Commission, it says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. It's not age specific. Hello? So we don't get to say, I've done all of that stuff. I want to reach the community for God, and I need your help. I can't do it by myself. But I want to be bold, 2016. I want us to do prayer caravans and we pray for the community. I want more people to join our prayer team, our visitation team. I want us to see that we have work to be done. Amen? Listen, if we come to church just for 1 hour and not do the real work that's necessary, then what have we done? My friends, here's what I know. Somebody has to be concerned about the least, the lost, and the forgotten. And Jesus says, I have no hands but your hands. I have no mouth but your mouth. I need you. We need each other to get God's work done. After they worshiped the Lord, they went back home. You know what I really love about this story? Was that in the midst of whatever they were doing, they saw the star. They saw God calling. Didn't understand it all, but they began to move and do something. Sometime God is calling us, and we may not understand it all, but can we trust Him? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why they were men of faith. They just trusted. Will we trust that God is with us? Will we trust that we have His blessings? Hello? It is so good to walk in God's favor, amen? But it comes with a price. It comes with a price. It means we've got work to do. I need you. We need each other so that we can get this work done. And maybe when the story is told, we'll be talking about wise men and wise women. All right? Because we had the mindset to really do the work that God has called us to do. Would you join hands with the person next to you? Why do we do this? So that we can be on one accord in the spirit. You all look great, shirts and ties, skirts, pants, sets. You all look good. But I don't know what's going on in your life. But God knows. Some of us, we look good on the outside, and our worlds outside of this church is upside down. I want you to know that God cares. He cares about you. Scripture says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the simple lessons that we learn from the Magi, from the wise men. Lord, we learn that they followed you. We learned that they paid homage due to a king. We learned that the gifts that they gave Jesus were very expensive, but it was to a king. We learned that they didn't care who saw them worship him. They just paid homage. Father, I don't know what the needs are here today, but you do. And I pray that you would touch every life and every heart and meet their need. Lord, I pray for those who need healing, that you would heal. Lord, healing might not just be of the physical body, but it might even be healing of the family. Come and bless and touch and heal. Lord, I pray for those who have lost loved ones. Only you can chase away the dark clouds of despair and grief. Draw close, Lord. Father, I thank you for Providence United Methodist Church, all of our leaders, our young people, our young adults, our children. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Lord, give us a burden for the least, the lost, and the forgotten. Lord, I lift up our sick and our shut-in right now and ask that you might bless them right where they are, that they might feel your presence and feel the love that we send their way. Pray that you continue to bless them and keep them. Be with us this day and always, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.